Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck having another beautiful and splendiferous day in my consciousness because I'm with my buddies, my co-hosts, my ministers. Hey there.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton from Durham, part of this wonderful kitchen table. And it is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And as the third member of our Musketeer Trio, I'm Reverend Doc Bill Holton. Very definitely another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well. I'm also at the Durham end of the table. And as you guys know, Cher and I are the co-founders of a hybrid unity ministry, and our name is the Unity Center for a Universal Prosperity.com. And universal is spelled Y-O universal because it's about your spiritual growth.
And because it is all about you, we give you a quick and easy way to find us and take advantage of our resources and see our calendar of events that you can join us for. That is UCFYP, the letters UCFYP.com.
Yes, and I am Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck, and I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find my calendar, and you can also find The Absolute Word, my weekly blog. And of course, we read one at the end of every one of our podcasts. And so this is Metaphysical Romp 2. We are around the virtual kitchen table, and I'm back in Kansas City. So I'm anchoring the Kansas City end of the kitchen table. And of course, we are all about spirituality, pseudo-spirituality, science, and pseudoscience, and anything else that tickles our fancy. And, right, guys?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, Cher, you want to introduce what we're going to look at today?
Yes, we found an interesting article that we thought you guys would enjoy hearing us riff on anyway. And it's from Medium, again, one of our favorite sources for articles. This is by Tim Denning. And the article is called Do These Things to Become a Mentally Unbreakable Person. Now, Tim Denning is an Aussie blogger with just slightly fewer viewers than us. He has 500 million plus views. And he is a writer for CNBC and Business Insider as well. And his kind of byline is inspiring the world through personal development and entrepreneurship. And he's one of my favorite authors personally for articles. He's written a lot of interesting ones. So this one takes a look at what we're doing with our mind. And he talks about how to be mentally unbreakable. And as we were kicking this around, we tried to define what that meant for us. And it's really no matter what you're going through, whatever is happening in this outer world of circumstances, within us, we have a lot of wonderful tools to use so that we are always in control. As Paul likes to say, our point of power is within us.
And of course, that's what metaphysics is all about. And so let's get looking at this.
All right. So we decided to just skip right to the points that he's sharing and begin to talk about what they mean for us. So the very first one is change the meaning of discomfort. And we found this particularly interesting. I'll just introduce it and then you guys can riff on it. A study by Caitlin Woolley and Aylett Fishbach found that when people see discomfort as a sign to quit and change the belief into a sign that it's time to grow, they unlock a higher level of mental toughness. So I think he means when they find that they, instead of seeing discomfort as a sign to quit, he left out a word, not me, he did, yeah. And change the belief into a sign that it's time to grow, they unlock a higher level of mental toughness. And with this new belief, they found a person can persist against the odds for longer and regulate their emotions much better.
Yeah. And so I'm wondering if he knows about the research on neuroplasticity, because it's in times of discomfort, mental discomfort, if we push through it, that we create changes in our neural pathways. And if there's no discomfort, there's no change. And so this is not just a change in consciousness, it's a change in the physicality of our brains, which really fascinates me.
Yeah. When I was going through high school and college, I was a cross-country runner, a mile runner, and I can tell you from personal experience that in the long-distance runs, when you begin to feel some intense discomfort about halfway through the race, you know that you can expect your runner's high, your second high, right after that. And it's amazing how that happens, because then you feel like you can run twice as far as what you need to.
And yes, you remember that, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
So you use it each time when you run again.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Yep, because you know the runner's high is coming.
And it's also more broadly applicable. When we think we've reached our breaking point, mentally, physically, you have a concrete experience from your own life, Bill, that knows that you can push through it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's something that when people reach a spiritual crisis in their life, like what we call a dark night of the soul time, if we can remember we've gone through things before, or we know people who have gone through something, so there's that demonstration that I can do it. Instead of giving up, which is what a lot of people say, this stuff doesn't work.
Yeah.
When we most need to use it is when we least feel like using it.
And yet absolutely. Yes. Yeah. It's so strange. When I think of all the things that we've recommended to people, including the 4-7-8 breathing and the 5-4-3-2-1 grounding technique, when I'm with people and they're telling me that they're having troubles and all of that, I said, well, did you remember to do this? Did you remember to do that? They never remember.
I know. It's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
So what we need to do is, maybe the three of us need to think of a way of like a memory peg, that when things are getting tough, how do you remember to use the tools you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one way I can tell our listeners that I do, that Sharon and I do, for the past probably 2 years particularly, is we have an affirmation that we say to ourselves, and it's to remember to use the poise of your divine nature to the noise of outer circumstances.
Yes, and then here again,
yeah.
So this article is talking about the noise of our inner circumstances.
Yes, and that's just as important to bring your poise to, not more. Yeah,
and not more. Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. Really. And so the takeaway that Tim lists here is relabel discomfort as growth. Use it to win. Then document it as evidence you can use to replicate the result. And that's why we encourage people to journal. And sometimes they just go, oh, I don't want to, I can't do it. But journaling is so powerful, not when you're doing it necessarily, although it's good for that, but when you can look back and see things you went through that you even forgot you went through. And you felt so helpless in that moment, but were able to pull through it. It is so confirming for you.
And the thing is, this relabeling the discomfort as growth isn't like slapping a label on something and calling something good that's horrible. We know from what I just said earlier that your brain will restructure itself in response to your moving through the discomfort. And so it is growth.
Yes,
sure.
It is. Another word for that is reframing.
Yes.
Just reframe your situation so that you put yourself in control instead of as a victim.
Yeah. Very true. Very true.
That one idea in itself, that this first one, is so powerful for mental stability.
Absolutely. So the next one is, don't expect life to be an equality utopia. So I chose to share this one because when I was raised to be fair. And I can remember the first time that I realized life wasn't fair. And I might have shared it on the program before. The only fight I remember having with another boy as we started fighting, I could remember my dad saying, fight fair. And the first time the other guy didn't fight fair, I'm going, what the crap is this? Right?
Yeah.
And so while I have this fairness barometer in my consciousness, I know fundamentally that life isn't fair.
So Bill has a perfect quote for this that he came up with, and I love it.
The quote that Sharon and I use a lot since I come up with it is, be fair without being fair game.
Oh, yes. Be fair without being fair game.
There are so many places that applies in life.
Yeah. And it sounds really negative, and it sounds like that we're not unity truth statements to say things like he says here, life will never be fair.
Yeah.
And if you adapt that attitude, well, then you're never going to be disappointed.
Right.
Thinking that everything has to be fair and a balance and all that.
And that puts everything out there, that you're at the whim of whatever's happening out there. And It doesn't matter whether life is fair or not. What matters is you have your priorities and values and strengths and principles in place and use them regardless of what's going on out there.
Yeah. And he goes on to say, accept that life will never be fair and make life fair through your actions and optimistic view of the world. And that to me is a new thought point of view.
Yes. An optimistic spirit to me is one of the most valuable tools we have.
Yes, it is.
Because it keeps you from getting cynical and depressed, really.
Really?
As an optimistic does not mean you're seeing the world through rose-colored glasses. Yep. It means you recognize what's going on and you hold on to that conviction that you have everything you need to move through it.
And it reminds me of Myrtle Fillmore saying, call it all good. And people read that and hear that and think, well, calling it good doesn't make it good. No, it doesn't. Calling it good puts us in a mind frame or a frame of mind to find a way to use this adversity for good.
Yeah, use it for good. I really like that even better. Use it for good instead
of for good. Yes.
Good. Yeah. Okay. Want to move to this third one? I think we have time to do it.
Okay.
And everybody has stress in their life. In fact, is what really stirs up that mental instability to begin with. Yes. And so he says, use this one simple tactic to reduce stress. Well, he's being a little generous when he says simple tactic. It's simple to talk about, not so simple to do sometimes. The tactic is, the way to defeat all your stress is to implement systems in your life. A system is simply a series of steps or a checklist you apply to similar situations. Have one for all of the common tasks in life. Because he says the more decisions we have to make, the less mental willpower we have.
Yeah.
There's a lot of psychology research out there to prove that too many choices actually paralyzes us.
Yes. And if you have to make a lot of choices throughout the day, by the time of the end of the day comes around, you don't want to make any more choices.
Right. Mm. No, you don't. You just, even like, where do you want to go for dinner?
Yes.
What for dinner? I don't care. You know, I don't want to have to choose.
Yep. I don't want to figure it out.
But the idea of steps and checklists, that really is powerful, and it's a great tool. And it may circle back to what you brought up earlier, Paul, about a way to help people remember to use the tools they have. Like if there's a checklist when I'm feeling stressed, if I could look at a checklist I have on my bulletin board and the first thing says, breathe.
Yep.
You know, if I have that checklist, that's a broad example, but it shows how people could use it.
And so I'm thinking there ought to be an app for that.
I'm sure there probably are several. I would not be surprised for a bit.
And it's looking at a checklist formula that works.
Yes. Yes. And I can hear people thinking, that sounds strange.
You're psychic.
Yeah. That I'm stressed enough. I don't have time to create a checklist and a system. And I hear that. Mm-hmm. And this is a little work, extra work on the front end that will make life easier on the back end.
I had a checklist for packing when we were doing so much traveling for our work, because there's so much to take, not just dress, you know, your own stuff, but stuff for the programs we were doing and all the little stuff you need. And I just had a checklist that I ran off, and every trip we would go through that checklist so we didn't get somewhere and not have the adapter for our computer or something like that. That checklist was so useful. And for every class I do, on the inside of the folder, there's a checklist for that class, what I need to take to support that particular class. And I mean, that it did take time the first time, but man, that's been a lifesaver.
That's so, such a delightful example.
Yeah. Yeah. Very powerful.
I like this quote, and I probably butcher the guy's name, Naval Ravikant. he says, most of the time, the mind is just mud wrestling with itself.
Isn't that a great image?
It is a great image. And it really connects to some research. I don't know if we'll get around to it today, but in a future program about that mud wrestling, that how wondering our mind is. And not W-O-N, but W-A-N.
Wandering. Like the chatter, the mind chatter that we get.
Yeah.
In fact, we just saw a book called Chatter. Mm-hmm. We haven't looked at it yet, but we just saw it advertised. It's called Chatter, and it's how to control what's going on in your mind and keep yourself in control.
I've seen an advertisement for it too. So it sounds like something we need to investigate.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, this next one is real quick. Let's just mention it before we flip over to the absolute
word.
And that's work out to exercise the mind. And it's really taking the idea of mental toughness and translating it to physical toughness, that your activity itself can be a way to get rid of some of the stress and help you build your mental toughness by building your physical toughness.
So I have a little confession to make that before I exercise regularly, I had the idea, the common idea, that guys who lifted weights and all of that were not mentally strong. But once I started working out, I found out how much mental strength it takes to stick to an exercise program and to work through pain. Here again, the pain is part of the clue to rewiring our brains.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's saying that the pain threshold plays a big part in your mental toughness. So by doing what you're talking about, you're patterning it for yourself in other areas of your life.
Yeah. Wow. Go to the gym to train your mind. Well, and we like ending our program to train our minds in the direction of some higher thoughts. And that's, of course, the absolute word, which is based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, has been used with permission. And so this comes from November 27th, 2022, and the words are hope and faith. I claim my power of faith. I radiate hope, belief, and conviction. As Advent season begins, I say no to pessimistic or hopeless notions that may have crept into my thoughts and feelings, weighing on my mind and heart. I say yes to expressing my goodness and positivity from my divinity. I feel a sense of renewed hope and faith dawning within me, a promise that something wonderful is on its way. I reaffirm my conviction that no earthly condition, no worldly circumstance is greater than my innate divinity. This is where I place my faith, in the principles of omnipotence, omnipresence, and love. I lavishly offer others and myself kindness and grace, regardless of circumstance. As I call upon these divine attributes within myself, I perceive them more readily in others. I grow in faith that together, we have the power to create the world of our highest imaginings. I claim my power of faith. I radiate hope, belief, and conviction. And so it is. And of course, this is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck, grateful for your listening, saying goodbye for now.
And this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton saying thank you so much for being part of us.
And this is the Reverend Doc Bill Holton, and the three of us encourage all of you to give yourself faith lifts this week.